Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Juneau School District leaders are bracing for tough decisions as they face a projected $9.5 million budget deficit. At a school board meeting last night, Superintendent Frank Hauser called it difficult news.
The truth is that the district must make both immediate and long-term financial changes.
After budget manager Cassie Olin resigned last month, the district temporarily hired Lisa Pierce to replace her. Pierce found that this year's budget overestimated revenues and underestimated expenses. The incorrect estimates were partly due to accounting errors, Pierce said. Some numbers were entered incorrectly in the district's accounting software. Others were left out. For example, the budget didn't include the superintendent's salary. Board member David Noon, who was elected to the board in October, said he was, quote, incandescent with rage.
These are appalling errors. And, you know, again, I'm not going to belabor the issue, but, you know, this makes our advocacy position with the state a lot more difficult.
Pierce said she didn't find signs of intentional mismanagement of funds. Instead, she said the district's revenue estimates were off, which allowed them to put off budget cuts.
You didn't have Hawaii trips and you didn't have, you know, $50,000 bonuses or no. What I'm seeing is the fact that, you know, you were being squashed from a revenue side, and the bottom side on the expenditures was not stopping. And it was kind of a freight train and that was coming from both directions.
The district's funding from the state is based on enrollment. This year's budget overestimated enrollment, which means it overestimated revenue. Board President Dee Dee Sorensen said the board has been too optimistic when it comes to enrollment projections.
Certainly not willing to acknowledge the downward trend in our student population. And I think part of that is that, you know, just like everybody else in town, we don't want to acknowledge that Juneau is shrinking.
Pierce told the board she didn't think it was possible to resolve the $9.5 million deficit in 1 year. The board asked Superintendent Hauser to come up with a list of all possible budget cuts. Their next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday. George Houston spent a lot of time in the gym at Yera Kahle Juneau Douglas High School. As a student in the 60s, as a PE teacher, and for 30 years as a basketball coach. He died in October, and in December, the gym was named after him. At a memorial this week, former players and friends shared his legacy. In the bleachers of the gym at Yada'at Kahle Juneau Douglas High School, groups of teenagers sit with their teammates. Adults sit in folding chairs on the court. Everyone is wearing the school's colors, black and red. One by one, people who loved George Houston share stories about him, like former Olympian and NBA player Carlos Boozer.
I was proud of my family. Coach was the first person I believed in. I had a crazy obsession with basketball. I met somebody who had a crazy obsession with basketball.
Boozer says Houston would leave him messages during his NBA games.
And he'd be like, man, great game, 25 points and 10 rebounds. But that really wasn't Crimson Bear defense.
Houston's longtime friend, Jeff Kemp, says he keeps picturing Houston in his usual spots in the gym.
You would be embarrassed and sheepish with the amount of people who are here tonight and honoring him and celebrating his life. And I can see him now appearing right outside that old office door right there, thinking, how the hell can I get out of here?
Houston played basketball at JDHS as a student. In 30 years of coaching, he led teams to 2 state championships. Though he retired in 2006, he was still on the court helping out most days until this summer. Former Juneau School Superintendent Bridget Weiss grew up with Houston and witnessed his skills as a coach.
I suggest George could have gone a lot of places to coach and a lot of higher levels. He was so committed to Juneau and the kids of Juneau. Aren't we the lucky ones?
Weiss says Houston inspired her to be the kind of leader that he was.
Think about George, what he was to you. Somebody around you.
Houston's niece, Jeannie Wolf, organized this memorial. She's a teacher now, too.
You know, George was family, right, first and foremost. And then as I heard more and more stories, I learned that he was more of a legend.
The service ends with a band made up of students, called the Radio Flyers, playing Neil Young's Harvest Moon. It was Houston's favorite song. From the George Houston Gymnasium in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. honeybees are not native to Alaska, and many beekeepers in the state don't try and keep bees alive through the long winter. They kill their bees when winter starts and order new bees when the weather warms. But one Anchorage beekeeper has learned how to help his colony survive to see spring. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has more.
It's a good day, huh?
I'm on the top of 49th State Brewing's warehouse in Anchorage. Tim Huffman is showing me the bees he takes care of on the roof. They hired him to keep bees for sustainable honey for making beer.
I have 8 hives going into winter here.
Each hive box is made of polystyrene, a condensed styrofoam material which retains heat much better than wood. And each stack of boxes is packed with foam insulation on all sides. Huffman points to a small hole at the base of one of the hives.
If it was a little warmer, even just 5 or 6 degrees warmer, we could see them crawling around in that little entrance. They're in there nice and toasty.
The insulation is one of the keys of getting these bees through the winter. The bees generate heat by vibrating their flight muscles, and insulated hives seal it in, keeping the colony warm. Huffman estimates Alaska has at least 1,000 backyard or non-commercial beekeepers. Many keep colonies for beeswax and honey. Huffman says in some places, honeybees can survive cold winters in the wild as long as they find an insulated space to live in, like a hollow in a tree. But he says Alaska's winters are too long.
Like North Dakota, Montana, Michigan, there's feral bees that successfully overwinter on their own in those climates. But they get a couple of things we don't get. They get occasional warm spells, and they also get early pollen and nectar much earlier than here.
Alaska beekeepers have to make sure their colonies have enough food to survive the winter. Huffman gives his colony extra sugar syrup in the fall so they can save it for the winter, and he puts sugar in their hives early in winter just in case they run out of food. He says learning how to keep his bees buzzing through the winter has been a lot of trial and error.
People need to use modern gear and modern methods. I get my bees through the winter not because I'm some genius that figured out some trick. It's because I'm stubborn and I know how to use the internet.
Huffman tries to pass on that knowledge to as many people in Alaska as possible. He's involved in local beekeeping communities, and he runs a YouTube channel with tips for Alaska beekeepers. Anchorage beekeeper Christine Wilcox is one of Huffman's converts. She'd struggled to keep bees alive for 7 winters.
Not being able to overwinter was frustrating, and I tried very hard. I had wooden equipment, just like most people start. That was what was available.
In past years, she'd ended the winter with just a small clump of bees huddled together for warmth. But last winter, she learned about Huffman's methods. She switched to polystyrene hive boxes and insulated them. She loaded up her colonies with a lot of food. And when she opened the boxes last spring, things looked different.
When you look at the top when you open them, if you see lots and lots of bees on the top of the frames, if you see lots of bees, that's a really good sign you have good density. And they were very dense.
All 3 of her colonies survived through last winter.
I was dancing. No, totally giddy. You know, it's just like when you realize that they've overwintered, I was elated. I'm attached to my bees in a weird way, but they're my buddies, and even though they'll sting me, but they're my buddies.
Back on the rooftop of 49th State Brewing, Huffman points at the hundreds of dead bees that dot the snow around the hive.
So you can see there's dead bees. There's dead bees all winter long. So, you know, there are bees that are going to die. The most important thing is that there are way more bees alive on the inside than there are dead bees on the outside.
Huffman says as long as enough bees make it to spring, the colony can survive another year. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 19 degrees, but it's about to get colder. People in the southeast should brace for high winds and extreme low temperatures through the end of the week. The National Weather Service issued a high wind warning for downtown Juneau and Douglas through tomorrow afternoon. And the special weather statement warns of extreme low temperatures and wind chill across the region. Temperatures may start dropping rapidly tonight and will continue to get colder through at least Friday morning. The strong winds will push temperatures even lower, especially in Juneau and Douglas, where wind speeds could reach 25 to 30 miles an hour with gusts of up to 60 miles an hour. Anything that could blow around should be secured, and residents should take precautions to prevent pipes from freezing or bursting. This is KTOO.